Thanks to Owens Recovery Science for supporting this show. Owens Recovery Science, led by Johnny Owens, the leaders in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it in clinical practice. Find them online at owensrecoveryscience.com. Research episode today. Talking with Timo Klein and Chris Askew about their paper that was published in Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise. They're both part of this group called Vasoactive Research Group. That's at the University of the Sunshine Coast down under in Australia. Really, the purpose was to look at aging associated with impaired cerebral blood flow. We wanted to see what happened with young men and old men when they did continuous exercise or interval exercise. And they were looking at, did the blood flow in the brain, cerebral blood flow, did it stay the same? Did it increase? Did it spike? Did it go down? So we took a look at it. We'll get inside their work in this episode, brought to you by Aureus Medical Staffing. Yeah, they find PTs jobs all around the country, all 50 states, all settings. Let your PT license take you where you want to go. Positions all over the place. Find out, with no obligation or anything like that, at AureusMedical.com. That is AureusMedical.com. Housing, licensure questions, continuing education credits, taxes, all those things can come into play with travel PT. Aureus makes it easy, period. AureusMedical.com. Check the show notes of this episode for a link to the paper that we're talking about. And as always, support researchers and our sponsors.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world.
It is.
This is the PT Pintcast.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Gentlemen, welcome to the show. I want you guys to introduce yourselves.
So I'm Timo Klein. I'm from the University of the Sunshine Coast and the German Sports University in Cologne. I'm an exercise scientist, and this is Professor Chris Askew.
So I'm Chris Askew. I lead a group called the Vasoactive Research Group here in Australia. We focus on exercise and vascular health.
We're all framed up. We like to talk research whenever we get a chance to really share good work, make good work well known. And you guys are working on a project titled Cerebral Blood Flow During Interval and Continuous Exercise in Young and Old Men. It was in Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise. Let's start with the big questions. Why did you decide to take a look at this? What about this area drew you in?
With aging, there is a reduction in cerebral blood flow. This is also associated to diseases such as stroke and cognitive decline. To understand the regulation of blood flow towards and within the brain is vital to possibly overcome this negative effect of aging.
Cerebral blood flow diminishes as you age, but we also know something else, that interval exercise versus continuous exercise could do some different things in the brain.
So we know from cardiovascular effects of high interval exercise training that this has been really beneficial. We don't know so much about the effect of interval exercise on the brain, and so in particular on brain blood flow. This is why we actually conducted this study. So we wanted to figure out what the effect of interval exercise specifically on brain blood flow within the brain was or is.
As a guy who likes when good research comes out, not even I can understand it, I always say, listen, if my guest can explain it so even I can understand it, everybody else listening is completely set. So let's get into the actual research. Who'd you study on? How'd you do it? And then we'll get to any findings.
So we used elderly participants over 65 years, and we used younger participants below 30 years of age, so between 18 and 30 years of age. We used 11 in each group, and the setup was pretty neat. So we set them on a bike. They had a incremental exercise test beforehand, so we know where their heart rate maximum was. From that, we calculated then the working intensity. So that was based at 60% of their maximum heart rate. And we had them to cycle continuously for 10 minutes, and then they sat on the bike and rested for 10 minutes. In the second session, they exercised for 1 minute and had a break of 1 minute, and they repeated this cycle for 10 times. So we had the exact same amount of exercise between continuous and interval, and the exact same amount of rest with interval and continuous. And we randomized it, so the participants didn't know beforehand what exercise they were going to do. So Half of the group started with continuous and the other half of the group started with interval, so that there is no effect between the protocols.
How are you able to measure the amount of blood flow? Because that's the thing you're looking for.
So there is a device which is called transcranial Doppler ultrasound. So this sits close to your ear. Like if you would imagine a line from your eye to your ear, there is an ultrasound probe, which is probably as big as a cent. And this ultrasound beam, we are able to locate the middle cerebral artery, which is the largest artery within the brain. And we measure brain blood flow velocity in this artery. So there are a few other measurements we have to take in order to interpret then the change in cerebral blood flow velocity. So we had a finger blood pressure cuff. So this measures blood pressure continuously. We had a face mask where there was a tube connected. So we had the respiration. We're interested in carbon dioxide, so CO2. We measured their heart action with a ECG. So this was pretty much the setup.
You've got all that set up, which is more technologically advanced than anything I've been involved with. So good on you guys for being able to measure all those things and measure them while someone is doing intense exercise as well. So what did you guys find? What were the things that you found after you ran them through this?
We found that during the bout of exercise in the young, during continuous exercise, we actually saw in the young the highest cerebral blood flow response in comparison to interval exercise. But what was surprising was that there was no difference between interval exercise and continuous exercise in the old. So importantly, when we ran the analysis, we figured that the resting periods were pretty important too. So at the beginning, we only focused at the exercise bouts, but we figured that at rest, cerebral blood flow showed a further increase than during exercise itself. So we compared the whole bout of exercise and recovery from continuous and interval. And we saw that this complete cerebral blood flow response of the whole bout was actually higher in the interval than in the continuous. And this was seen both in the young and the elderly.
All right, so let's go through this real slow because this is important, the results. So middle cerebral artery velocity higher during continuous compared with interval exercises in the young, but not in the old. What did you guys, is this what you expected or was this a curveball for you?
So this is an interesting finding in itself. The question is why do the young show a higher response? We can't really answer that for 100%. So we need to do further investigations on that, but it might be linked to certain factors that regulate blood flow. Now, in saying that, I can't give you a clear answer because then this would mean that the regulating factors might be different between young and old. But the important finding we had was that the interval format, so if I say interval exercise, then we just focus on the exercise bouts. But if I say format, I mean the whole block. That was actually higher in comparison to the continuous format, both in young and old.
Yeah, so I think we expected to see the blood flow would be lower in the older adults because it's right. Lower all of the time. So the really surprising finding and the really important finding was that if we use interval exercise, that difference between old and young is diminished. So we get the response to exercise from a cardiovascular point of view relies upon blood flow. It's almost like the dose of blood flow. So that dose of blood flow is equal between the old and young when we use interval exercise. So that's the really important finding.
We tell people to, myself included, in terms of older adults in my life, which is do something that's going to keep your heart rate and stay high for older adults. When we're looking here with findings you're saying is you need to do an interval.
Yeah. And the really interesting thing is if you're interested in promoting adaptations to the heart, for example, we know that if you keep on increasing the exercise intensity, heart rate keeps on going up. There's a dose response. If we increase the intensity, there's a greater response to that exercise. With brain blood flow, we don't see that. Brain blood flow reaches its maximum when people are exercising at about 60% of their maximum capacity. So asking people to exercise harder doesn't promote further adaptation. So it's not high intensity exercise that's important, but there's interval nature of the exercise. So adding these rest breaks seems to be important to increasing the overall stress or the overall, again, dose of the positive cardiovascular influence of exercise on the brain vasculature.
Now that you know this, what could come next for you guys?
So the next step would be to see this, if we would see this effect appearing in an adaptation. So if we would transfer that into a training study, that would be the next very important question to answer, whether we see then cerebrovascular function improves after interval exercise. For now, for a single bout of exercise, we can recommend that interval exercise is beneficial. And this is important for people who are possibly not able to exercise continuously. So not everyone is able to. And this research shows that if you add a break to your exercise or to your continuous exercise, you can get similar effects.
Yeah, still get the benefits just because you can't, you know, exercise for 20 minutes straight, maybe four bouts of 5 minutes. Some is better than none. We know that. But seeing that those breaks aren't detrimental but can actually be helpful as we age is pretty insightful. Habitual exercise delays age-related reduction in cerebral blood flow by as much as a decade in older adults with resting CBF shown to be 17% higher in active compared with inactive older adults. Can't really ever stop, huh?
No.
So I think the really important thing from this is we know that cardiovascular health is it's a global problem, and cardiovascular disease has been the leading cause of death in, you know, here in Australia, countries like America and most countries of the world for many decades. But over the last 10 years or so, we've seen a dramatic rise in the number of cases of various forms of dementia. As the population's getting older, we're seeing more and more people with dementia, particularly Alzheimer's disease. And there's a really strong vascular component to these brain diseases. Looking for forms of exercise that promote brain health is critical, in particular brain vascular health. And that's where I think this study has great potential. And as Timo mentioned, the next step is to now try this. We need to now do some training studies in probably start in healthy older adults to see whether this interval exercise does actually promote brain vascular improvements. But the really critical work is going to be in people who are at high risk of dementia. So people with right. early stage cognitive impairment, this type of training could be a way to slow the progression of dementia in these patients, which would be really exciting. And we know that exercise is good for cognitive impairment, but we don't know why. And if it's related to the vasculature, then this form of interval exercise could be a winner.
A big portion of the population would be very eager to see if there was a link between the two. Any limitations in the study design? It was a little small study size. You just mentioned looking to expand, but any other limitations that you felt?
There are, of course, limitations. One limitation we had in our study, we only studied men. So we had 11 older and 11 younger men. So we didn't study this in female. And there is a big need to further investigate that. Other than that, I would say the study was pretty well controlled.
Anything noted during the review process that you had to change at all?
Not that much. On the setup side, on the protocol side, there were a few questions why we had, so we applied a non-maximum test. So we stopped at 85%, but this was, we could argue that this was, yeah, we used that pretty well. So not that much that we had to change.
Anything you'd want the audience to know is in terms of clinical use? We mentioned that, you know, if you're a therapist working with older adults right now, maybe start, if you haven't, to introduce some interval training with your older adults, especially if they're dealing with early onset signs of cognitive issues that might be related to blood flow. Anything else in terms of clinical application?
Yeah, so the first aspect would be if you haven't started exercising, start now. Don't prolong it until tomorrow. If you're not able to exercise actively, there are also other forms of exercise you could use. For example, water exercise. In the literature, it has been shown that just the immersion of water increases cerebral perfusion. So if you would start to exercise and use similar approaches as we have shown on the cycling ergometer, then you could win from these positive effects. So exercising today, and don't have any excuses in not exercising at all. There are many, many ways where you could exercise.
turning to Chris, we go from the micro of this particular study to the macro in terms of other studies and broader research. What do you want to talk about there?
Yeah, so I guess reiterating that point that cardiovascular disease are highly prevalent, but yeah, with this aging of the population, we are seeing more and more brain-related diseases, and people with risk factors, so people with low blood flow or people with atherosclerotic disease, are at a particularly high risk of developing dementia and in particular Alzheimer's disease. So our work is focused really broadly on those people that are at highest risk of developing vascular complications. We're all aware of coronary artery disease that leads to heart attack and cerebrovascular disease that leads to stroke. But there's other forms of vascular disease that we don't hear about so much, like peripheral arterial disease that leads to blockages in the arteries of the legs. Aneurysmal disease, so abdominal aortic aneurysm. These are conditions that, again, are becoming more and more prevalent as the population gets older, and exercise has a potentially really important role to play in the prevention of these conditions, but also in part of the management of patients with these conditions to, again, protect their brain health and their brain vascular health. So, yeah, we've got a range of studies that are running in people with peripheral arterial disease and in people with abdominal aortic aneurysm and in older adults in general, to improve their vascular health, to improve their vascular condition, but more importantly, to preserve their cognitive function and their brain health moving forward.
Now, when you guys say we, talk a little bit more about where you guys are from and who you're connected to, so the audience can kind of get a sense there.
Yeah, so we're the Vasoactive Research Group. So that brings together vascular clinicians, both cardiologists and vascular surgeons, as well as scientists like ourselves. And we're exercise physiologists and we work with physiotherapists and other scientists. And we're based on the Sunshine Coast, which is in Queensland, Australia. This has traditionally been a place where people come to retire. It was nicknamed God's Waiting Room some time ago. The demographic's changing a lot. There's a lot of young people moving here now, and it's a young, vibrant area. And we have a really large teaching hospital, which is where our research is based. So, yeah, we're in the perfect place to study these diseases that affect older adults. But we collaborate with groups all over the world. So Timo, as you know, is from Germany. So we have a really strong group, link with his group in Cologne in Germany. And Timo is one of two joint PhD students that we have between our group on the Sunshine Coast and our collaborators in Germany. But we collaborate with folks, yeah, all over the world that are working hard to answer really similar questions.
That's perfect. Well, you know, open invitation for you guys to come back on the show and talk more about the further research, either with this particular study or anything else you guys are working on. We love it because it's going to apply to physios no matter where we're located. And it's good to see you guys are out there doing the research. I bet you it's hard to get someone to go from Germany to a place called the Sunshine Coast. I bet you that's a real tough recruiting tool, huh?
Absolutely.
Anything I haven't asked, things you just want to bring up, things you didn't expect to happen?
I mean, to be perfectly honest, we probably expected with interval exercise that we would see these big spikes in blood flow. And that's why we did the study initially in healthy people, because that would potentially be a safety concern. So our study has actually also reinforced that this type of interval exercise is safe, that we don't see these big surges in brain blood flow during exercise. In someone who is at a high risk of stroke, or indeed in someone who's had a stroke in the past, that's probably the last thing we'd want to do, is to create these surges in brain blood flow that are uncontrolled and could potentially lead to microvessel damage and microbleeds. You know, we were probably expecting brain blood flow to be higher than it was during the interval exercise. But again, the novel finding was that it was not different between the old and the young participants. So we think this is a helpful form of exercise in older adults. But we also think it's a safe form of exercise because we don't see these really large spikes in blood flow that we might have expected to see.
Yeah, so no excuse of why older adults shouldn't be doing interval exercises.
Yeah, that's right. And again, to reinforce the message, it doesn't need to be high intensity. I think when people hear interval exercise, they think that it's high intensity. Right. This is just walking or cycling until it's perhaps a little bit uncomfortable, stopping and having a rest. That's fine. Then going again, stopping and having a rest. So it's a really easy way. And it's often a way that physiotherapists and exercise physiologists will prescribe exercise anyway, is to put in these rest breaks. I think what we've shown is that that's probably the preferred model in older adults when it comes to brain vascular health.
Question for each of you. Why did you decide to choose this as your career? We like to ask people who are on the show, what brought you, what really drew you to studying what happens when the body moves?
Well, I grew up doing exercise all my life. So I went to the German Sport University, and the whole focus of this university in Cologne is just around exercise. And for me, as the next step of a career, I wanted to continue with research, contributing to science. And then this wonderful opportunity came up with Chris, having him as my supervisor. So I just slipped into that role. And within that, during my PhD, I started to learn this technique of measuring cerebral blood flow. And yeah, during the PhD, I gained more and more interest. I just like it to be involved with exercise, but also contributing with something meaningful from my understanding to clinical exercise science, not only on the performance aspect. So trying to really help people with this information, elderly people, and then also people with diseases to slow down the progression of aging, but also promote healthy aging. So this is now really the driving force for me.
Chris, how about you?
Yeah, I think for me, Jimmy, again, so this was a long time ago when I did my undergraduate study. It was because of a love of sport, and I wasn't going to be a professional athlete. So the next best thing was to maybe combine my interest in sport and science. So I studied sport and exercise science. But I learned really early on in my undergraduate studies that, you know, a sports scientist can make a small difference to an athlete's performance. You know, we're talking about seconds or millimeters. I had a great opportunity to work as part of a cardiac rehabilitation program. And that was really an eye-opening moment for me, where I saw that exercise can, you know, make a huge impact on someone's life. So that was the turning point for me. And that's really what hooked me into an interest in exercise and cardiovascular health and exercise and research. And I've been doing that work ever since for the last 20 years or more.
Love that. We'll make sure to include the link for the listeners to take a look at the results of medicine and science and sport and exercise. Again, cerebral blood flow during interval and continuous exercise in young and old men. Gentlemen, appreciate you guys taking some time to talk with us about this. And thanks for looking into this. We know it's really important with older adults.
Jimmy, thank you for the opportunity. It's great to have this avenue of getting our work out there. And yeah, hopefully the listeners can put this into practice, which would be fantastic.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org. Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.